Hello, this is Tim again, and this is Mirage Profiles, another round of talks here at the Mirage retreat in Marrakesh. And with me now is Cristiano Hesbert. Hello.
That's me. Hello. Hi. Nice to have you.
So, Cristiano, did you enjoy the week? It's the last day of the retreat.
Yeah, pretty much. It's been quite productive. I got a cold, but that's secondary. But all in all, it's working fine.
So, I guess you have been programming for a long time.
I do, yes. I'm 31 now. Started with 14.
Mm-hmm.
So some 17 years programming.
What was your first introduction to programming?
I think it was shell script. Let's say, if you can call it a language.
Yeah.
And then PHP. But then that's for a very short time. And then I started doing C, I think it's about 16.
So you've always been at home in Unixy systems?
Yeah, pretty much. So I started working full time around when I was 15. And by 16, I was doing full time C.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not full time C, but a lot of C.
How did you like that?
A lot, actually. Like, we had this, my generation, okay, I'm just 31, but I can already see. So in my generation, we had this guy in our city, and he was like the Linux maintainer, like Marcelo Tosacci. And so he was like Latin American. He was 19 years old, and mm-hmm. he was replacing Alan Cox on Linux 2.4.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like a fucking hero. And this guy was like, great. And we wanted to be him. Right. So that was like got me like, I want to be a kernel hacker.
Mm-hmm.
And that had been my motivation, I think, until today. Let's say that's what I do as a full job now. I'm a Unix kernel hacker. And
so you're still doing work on the Linux kernel?
Yeah, no, I do actually on OpenBSD kernel.
Mm-hmm.
I never worked much in the Linux kernel, but yeah, on the OpenBSD kernel, full time every day. So, and that's like what I'm more or less decent at.
What parts of the kernel are you focusing on?
I mainly do parallel network processing
mm-hmm.
and scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of multi-threading stuff and performance-oriented development. So mm-hmm. fast packet filtering and so on.
So when have you been introduced to functional programming?
I had this introduction in university. I started playing with Scheme.
Mm-hmm.
It never really worked out. The Scheme was kind of, I don't know, I could do some stuff in and just never clicked. But I had this idea that, you know, these functional guys, they're like really smart, right? And they can do math and they understand all these funky symbols and so on. And I'm pretty much like a peasant programmer in that regard. And I said, okay, I don't get it. You know, maybe they're too smart or maybe it's just bullshit. And then 10 years later, this was 3 years ago, I think. Around that 3 years ago. I was pissed off because I was doing some kernel work, and then we merged our changes in OpenBSD, and then it broke all my changes. And I had spent like 2 months in it. I had the full design. I was really invested in it. And I spent 7 days trying to debug, and I failed. I said, I need to do something else. And then a friend told me, do you know that like Anil is writing this DNS stuff in a unikernel and like in OCaml, and it's like functional programming, and you don't have an operating system. You just run your stuff in it, and you don't need to deal with all this legacy stuff. So, okay. Yeah, but I mean, I've never heard about OCaml properly. I just know the name as well. And then, okay, I'm going to give it a shot. Then I bought his book. This was 2015. Yeah, this real world OCaml. Then I read it and I started to play with it. And so I just started to write this very simple like Unix utilities like WC, cat, netcat, and trying to grow in complexity a bit. And then kind of clicked. Like, it was really hard to code a bug, right? It was like, if the stuff compiled, was awesome. It was just really hard to make it compile. But once it compiled, it was awesome. Then I kind of clicked. So this thing that 10 years ago I didn't feel it, I think now, okay, that's it. That's the pitch. That's why people like it. That people say it's safe and so on. And then I got involved in Mirage a bit. that was more or less what I wanted to do, write system code or close to system code in OCaml. And then they had this like Pioneer Projects page when they said projects that they wanted to do on Mirage. This was like a Mirage web page. And they wanted the DHCP server. And said, okay, like, you know, I've been doing network stuff forever. DHCP is like very simple. A bit old, but very simple. And then I subscribed to it and then I started to write. And after some struggle, I think it took me like, I don't know, 7-8 months writing it. I released the first version and people kind of liked it. And it's the default DHCP implementation in Mirage now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just by Docker also.
What would you say, how is there any difference in the way the software behaves compared to your work in C that you've done before in the BSD kernel?
I think so. Like we're trying to write pure code in OCaml, especially now. So we're trying to write side effect free stuff. And well, in C and especially in the kernel, it's just all about side effects. So it's really hard to test the code that I write in kernel, and it's somewhat requires much more effort in trying to keep the same mental model all the times in your head, and trying to see all the state changes that will happen if I do blah. While in OCaml and I'm writing pure code, I mainly can. This whole universe of side effects and state changes that I would have to have in my head, they're very small because I just need to concern about this function call. It's this input and it should be that output. So my universe of like my mental state is much, much smaller. And then I can be considerably more productive and feel safer about it because I really can trust this very small step. While when you're doing C, I change one variable in the structure and okay, what's the impact of this in the whole world now? Mm-hmm. So I think writing kernel code, it's something you do very defensively. You're always scared. You're always super protective. And when you're doing OCaml, and especially when you're writing pure code, you have the opposite feeling. It's like, I'm a god, and I can do whatever I want, and everything will work. And then the compiler will tell you if you succeed or not. But
do you still have the feeling to be as close to the metal? Which is one of the general advantages people cite when they're talking about C,
I think,
when you're using OCaml.
I think like I don't have much of a feeling that I'm close to the metal in OCaml because it's pretty magic, right? The way we're doing, the way you write OCaml, it looks pretty magical from like a hardware point of view. And I think the biggest thing is like I cannot like look at a function in OCaml and imagine the assembly and then imagine what will happen in the CPU. And I can more or less do that with C. So the mental model that I have to, the mental translation I have to do between like the simple C function to what actually happens on the hardware is very simple. And in OCaml, I cannot do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that will require actually understanding the compiler and how the... and I think that's interesting and something that I miss. So maybe when I understand the compiler, if I ever like sit down and read it, then okay, this is what's happening. Then I can say, okay, now I feel closer to the hardware because I know it will compile into this and will generate that code and blah, 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 blah. But not much. We used to say that C is just portable assembly. And in a sense, it is.
Yes.
Because it's just so ridiculously simple. Right?
So after having finished or mostly finished, software is never really finished, but you know, I think you're not putting much more effort into the DHCP stuff.
No.
You have turned to SSH.
Yeah, correct.
Because that was lacking. Wasn't SSH somehow in the beginning of the Mirage project?
Yeah. I think Mirage started as the SSH project that Daniel was writing many, many years ago, maybe 10 years ago, I don't know. But I think it worked, but there was no ecosystem to build all the remaining stuff. There was like no crypto library. There was no like a buffering library. So it was pretty much like a very standalone thing. And so there seems to be a need in the community for something modern that can operate decently with the libraries you have. Some people want the client side, some people want the server side. Yeah, that's the food.
Food is coming.
Yeah. And so I think there's like because SSH is not just used for like a shell, right? It's more or less like generic transport secure layer. Like I think people use in a sense like people use HTTP, they transport whatever they want.
Yeah, it's used for tunneling and everything.
And then if you want to talk to the world, it's I think it's kind of like a basic tool today.
So did you have to write the whole crypto as well?
No, the crypto library I use from David, it's called No Crypto. I had to fix like one bug. And also he gives me like ciphers, he gives me digests, he gives me entropy, and I don't need to care about that. So I can really just write the protocol.
Mm-hmm.
That's because honestly, if I had to do the crypto part, I just wouldn't. I just say, oh, no, that's too much. I'm gonna do something else.
Yeah, it's not your part. But but you know how protocols work. Do you think OCaml makes it easier for you to actually design the flow and intricacies of the protocol management?
I think like usually, at least when I'm writing, like we split the protocol implementation from the whatever drives the protocol. So for instance, like on my SSH library, there's no timeouts, there's no I/O. It's really just how do I implement the protocol logic.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's this input message of the protocol and I expect this reply. So I'm just being very basic on input output. And then I need something to drive this that actually gets something from the network and steps it in. So I think this lower layer of being totally pure and dealing with inputs and outputs, it's pretty easy. It maps pretty well. It's kind of easy to do. It's very easy to test too. And then a complication arises when you need to drive this somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the part where the ecosystem changes a lot. So in Mirage is more or less one thing, and in Unix is more or less another. And are we dealing like with a blocking world, or we're dealing with a non-blocking world? While if I were doing this in C, in Unix, I completely know my environment. Like it's a POSIX, it's a pthreads, processes. I know all about the world, right? So it's a very close, concise world. And in your OCaml world, this upper layer, this driver thing, it's really dependent on the ambient you want to run, the environment you want to run. And I want to be able to run as a Unix process or as a unikernel or as embedded in your OCaml application that you need to serve SSH directly from your application. So I want to try to be very democratic in this way. I'm not making many assumptions about the environment.
Mm-hmm.
But the core part I can do without changing anything. Right? I can be completely pure and all the others can use. This would be really hard to do in C, for instance. Right? This core part will have to be tainted by the environment it runs in. Otherwise it will look very strange. So there's some things that I think OCaml does very wrong, which is basically no unsigned types. There's no unsigned integer, unsigned 32 bits. There's int 32 bit, and then of course the binary representation is the same. But if you want to do like lower than, greater than, you need to be like super careful.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're writing network code, you only need unsigned stuff, right? That's like basic.
I saw that was on Hannes' list when he gave the presentation on future developments that are necessary.
Yeah, it's a pain. It's a pain. Yes, especially because you're so used for the so used with the language protecting you and like holding your hand. This is wrong, you know.
Yeah, especially in functional programming, this should be the standard somehow.
So you build this like very safe pattern in your head, and then you do like an lower than, oh shit, is wrong. And it's just, and you just figure out when there's one client that sent one number slightly too big.
Hmm. So the SSH is now basically working?
This lower layer is like, let's say, 85% done.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And the driver that drives this lower layer, I'm still experimenting here and there, like I rewrite many times. Because this is what the user will actually see, right? And he needs to be able to use the library without knowing how SSH works, because that will be too much of a requirement just to use SSH. So, but I think like the core stuff is written, like the key exchange, packet replies, and dealing with all the messages in the protocol and so on. Authentication is done. You can authenticate by public key or by password. yeah, so I think like the core thing is like, it's, I won't say finished, but it's close to it. But now as I develop more of this driver part that drives this lower part, this will also taint the core part. On this should be slightly more this should be slightly more that.
So the SSH protocol itself is represented as a library as everything else is in the unikernel. Does that mean when I want to add something like SFTP to it, it would be just like taking it and just putting the extra stuff on top of it?
In the ideal world, you would be able to build an SFTP server with the library.
And client as well.
And client as well, yes, yes.
But nobody has done that yet.
No,
so there's an opportunity. Yes. And it's probably not something you're so interested in because you keep to the lower layers.
As a user, I don't think I would have much use for it. But especially because I'm focusing on the server side now. But it would be a great, I think other people would have pretty good uses for it. And it would be a very good test to see, okay, how well can like I can communicate my API to a user that understands the protocol and wants to implement SFTP, as opposed to a user that wants to implement a command line interface.
Yeah, because it should be totally transparent in a way. Once you deal with SFTP, you just choose to, okay, I want to have all the SSH stuff below, but I don't really want to deal with anything. Yeah. I'm just talking to something over some weird transport that I don't care about.
Absolutely. That would be very nice because like my brain is already tainted because I know the protocol and I need to make design decisions with a brain that does not know the protocol, right? So it would be nice to have like a third-party guy that comes in and says, "Oh, I'm implementing SCP with it or SFTP." Say, and I say, "Okay, this is the API. What can you figure out with me without me telling you anything?" That would be very nice for sure.
So, as I mentioned, this is the last day of this retreat here in autumn or in December. Actually, it feels like feels like autumn. It's not really winter feeling you get here in Marrakesh. What was your experience? Has this been the first time you're here?
Oh, it's been the third time I've been here.
The third time. So you've seen them all.
Yeah, I've been since the first.
What would you tell other people who haven't been here about this event?
I think like the nice thing about this event is that it's open, right? I think most hackathons and groups tend to be closed, and ours is open. And
open in the sense that anybody can.
Yeah, everybody can apply and come in and so on.
Yeah.
And so far we've been lucky with the space. We can always fit everyone. So I think if you wanna like get involved in Mirage and you wanna get involved in OCaml, I would suggest do a bit of like homework before, that you don't come completely fresh. And then once you're in here, the community is very friendly and kind of embraces you and will point you in the right directions to learn whatever you want to do. And this is a very good way to just get into the project. Because if you do just from home and IRC and so on, it's totally doable, but you know, you get a huge boost in your involvement with the project by coming here. And I think that's a lot about community building. This project, this hackathon, is not much about like hardcore programming and developing all the ideas. It's more about like building this environment where new people can come in and the old people can more or less show them what we're doing and so on. So, yeah, I think...
I think also given the nature of Mirage OS, everything built up from small parts and libraries, there's always a small niche to find that you can focus on without having to learn like everything because it's isolated.
And that's the other nice side is because like if you want to do something in Mirage, there's a very good chance nobody has done it.
Yeah.
Right? So it's because it's new and so on.
Yeah.
So most of the ideas of and you can more or less isolate in a library and you can be happy with it. Because it's usually like if you're coding for like a very established system or ecosystem, you say, "Oh, I want to write something, but everything I want to write has been written, and then I'm just going to, you know, reinvent the wheel." Well, Mirage, you won't be reinventing the wheel because we don't have the wheel yet, right? So, yeah.
So, to wrap it up, what Mirage still being a quite new idea or new way to address ideas that have been in the world before, what do you envision where its place is going to be?
I'm not sure actually. Like to be honest, I don't reason much about this. For me, Mirage is like, I see more as like an excuse to write code that I would probably never write otherwise. Because it would just be no point in it, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, it's like this really awesome laboratory where I can intellectually grow and write cool stuff. So I would like that the project in the future to be thinking more of a kind of an user's perspective. If we get Mirage running on OpenBSD VMM, and I think we will, I would expect Mirage to become like the... I hope it to be the most successful unikernel ever, blah, blah, blah. And I would love to be able to write applications that still run on a Unix environment without much fuss, without like having to have Xen and blah, blah, blah. And I can just run this VMM with like one implementation of my application. So that's what I would like it to get it, to get to the point that I can rewrite one Unix service as a unikernel and run, for me, in an OpenBSD VMM, which is like...
Just tuck it into an existing environment and having a much easier to program to environment.
Because this would also be useful for me to start stashing this in our product at my job. And I would have a good excuse to do something very incremental and slowly I can start owning more of the Unix space and doing what I want in OCaml. Yeah. So for example, like I would love to have like an Ike implementation in OCaml that I could run on Mirage on a VMM
as a key for VPN stuff.
Yeah, the key exchange for IPsec. I think that's like a very nice application for it. It's basically just implementing the protocol, right?
Because all the crypto is already there, invisible.
Yeah. And that would be great. So if Mirage can evolve to the point that it's like effortless for me to build a unikernel that runs on my existing Unix system, and I think it is already, right? If you're using Linux or FreeBSD, it's like you just do the solidify of unikernel and things work awesome. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would like this to happen in OpenBSD because then I have more users and I can start replacing stuff, hopefully.
All right, Cristiano. I think food is ready.
Yeah.
And it's very good. Another reason to come here. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, goodbye.